You are a bold and courageous person, afraid of nothing. High on a hilltop near your home, there stands a dilapidated old mansion. Some say the house is haunted, but you don't believe in such myths. One dark and stormy night, a light appears in the topmost window of the tower of the old house. You decide to investigate, and you never return. Those are the opening words on Disney's iconic Thrilling, Chilling Sounds of the Haunted House record. And this is the opening for a special episode of Everyday Wonder, a podcast that's usually about turning the volume down on all the shouting going on these days, but today is about turning the volume up on all the screaming that goes on around Halloween. In particular, we're going to take a trip to one of New Orleans' famous haunted house attractions and ask, what's the wonder in being scared? I'm Brett Will Taylor, and I'm here with my co-host, Renee Peck, our forever guest, the city of New Orleans, and more than a few thrilling, chilling sounds and spirits of Halloween.
Yes, we decided to come where the scares are. We are standing underneath the Huey P. Long Bridge in Jefferson Parish, just outside of New Orleans, Louisiana, at New Orleans Nightmare. It is on the site of House of Shock, which was here for 25 years. It has been here for the past couple of years, and it is one of the truly most haunted places in America. Maybe not with real spirits, but with certainly manufactured ones. It's a 25,000 square foot warehouse, and it attracts some 20,000 people every Halloween to come through and, get scared. So we're going to go check it out. So we're sitting here today with Ashley Hill, who is the operations manager at New Orleans Nightmare. Thank you for joining us, Ashley. Tell us what you do.
Absolutely. I'm the operations manager here. So essentially during the year, I am kind of an umbrella for the property. I look over our cast and our sales, our makeup department, our wardrobe department off-season. I design sets and set dress. Haunting all year.
Why is New Orleans such a perfect place for a haunted house?
Well, I mean, I think that goes centuries back. We are deeply rooted in all things spooky. Honestly, it helps us more than anything. We are a haunted house, but, you know, if you have a haunted house that's out in the middle of nowhere, out in the sticks, we really don't have that extra edge. You know, you can go down to the French Quarter, you're only moments away from cemeteries. It really gives us so much more. You know, we have all of these fantastic scenes. You know, we do a lot of research on the costumes and on the set design, and we really try to get people into these characters. We do a whole actor training session for about 3 or 4 months. We do method acting more than anything. We do string theory, where we're pulling parts of your body and we're making you animate your body a little bit more. We notice that a lot of haunters act with, like, just like from the chest up with their face and their facial expressions, and we're trying to get you completely into that exorcist-esque character, you know.
Which I think, again, is amazing that there's a lot of work that goes into providing the wonder of being scared.
Absolutely.
Because you don't want any of that to show up to your guests.
Guests and victims, absolutely. And it does take a lot to pull off a show like this. It's definitely not me by myself. My performance managers, Spencer, right here, and Sydney, they run our actors. And then we have a makeup department, a sales department, a wardrobe department. And then we're just kind of all running this together in tandem.
Spencer, you're right. You're Spencer. So Spencer's over here. So you manage the actors.
Yeah.
So you're like a therapist for a couple of months, because that must be crazy. Like, do people lose it a little bit in character or after a couple of weeks of this?
They do. We do get first-time haunters. They get in scene with the music and the darkness, and they have a little panic attack sometimes.
Some of them actually do get scared.
We do. We had an actor one time, one of the best actresses here. We brought her to her scene. She stayed in scene all night long, and then we brought her to the cast area at the end of the night because she did not walk through this haunted house.
See?
Yeah, I want to go back to what Brett Will said earlier about, and also Ashley, what you're talking about, and that is the sense that this is fun. Why is this fun? Well, I'm looking at blood and machetes and Godzilla's head out there. What is there that makes this fun?
Honestly, I think it's fear of the unknown. It's like when a couple of people go to the movie theater and you have your sweater pulled up over your eyes and you're kind of peeking. You really want to see what's going on. It's fear of the unknown. It's the same reason you would get on a roller coaster and go on a roller coaster. It's going to be fun, thrilling. The adrenaline's going to be pumping, but you're going to be okay on the other side of it.
And I think it's what you've just said. I think it's the fear of the unknown. It is, I think, also that we are poking our own mortality.
Absolutely.
We're poking death in the chest a little bit with this, and we are only able to feed our fear of the unknown. We're only able to poke death in the chest because we know we're safe. We know we're going to get out.
And you know, the haunt industry is a small garden. You know, there are a lot of haunters, but I think that some people underestimate how big the haunt industry actually is. And it's something that we say around here, fear is a commodity. We say that here, that's our little tagline over here, because it is. And people will pay for that fear. They want to get scared. They want to test their own limits. I think that's the human condition. Just like, let's push.
I think getting scared is one of the few things we do that we have to look up from our phone to do it, right?
Yes.
I mean, you know, I can watch Linda Blair do sit-ups on her bed and The Exorcist on my Android all day, and it's not scary.
Correct.
Because I'm holding it in my hand, it's tiny. But in the theater, it scares the shit out of you.
Correct.
And I would also think for people, they're coming out of their house, out of their comfort zones,
right,
physically, to come to the haunted house.
Yes, and this is live theater, essentially.
We
drop that velvet rope. You are inches away from actors, and I think that's what we do as well. We invade your personal space. We invade that bubble that you keep around you in your everyday life, and we get right here, next to your face, in your ear, around your hair, all those little things that might send a chill up your spine. You know, you have to disconnect to walk in the door.
In this crowded digital age, do people just like to be scared for fun because it takes them out of the reality of, you know, being scared by politicians on the main stage?
It's escapism. People want to be out of what they know. People want to be out of where they're normally at. And you had said earlier, you mentioned about, you know, people in their phones, and you know, when you come through our doors, and I mean, I can't speak for everybody, but I know, you know, we put you somewhere where you're not no longer on this planet.
You know,
you're in a different place, you know.
That's really interesting, because I'm just now thinking about this. In the viral world we live in, you never see a viral video from a haunted house. And which is really, I'm sure there's some out there. But exactly it. You all do displace people.
Yes.
You're in the moment.
You put them back in their body, literally.
And there are, you know, we encourage you to disconnect, to put your cell phones away. Most of the videos you might see on YouTube, they're grainy, they're ill-lit. It's because, you know, we really don't want you to take those photos,
right,
to take those videos. We want you to come here and experience this with us. We have builders and designers that work all year to bring you a fantastic product. And also, these are movie-quality sets and scenes, and a lot of haunts aren't able to do that. We're lucky to be able to be one of the ones that,
right,
do that.
One of the promos I read said that it's like going into your own private horror movie and being the star. Is that what you're looking for?
And you were talking about heroes a moment. You know, you exit the other side victorious. You know,
right,
you've come through it on the other end. So yeah, essentially, like if you're in our nunnery or if you're in our dungeon, if you're by the very large dragon, you're coming out of the other side of that,
right,
victorious. You're facing your fears. So.
Right, there you go. Yeah,
I think it does give people the feeling of accomplishment, though. Is it's, you know, you've won, you've succeeded, and as you know, corny as that may sound, until you experience it, when you go through, you're going to feel as if, you know, your whole world has been turned upside down. But when you come out on the other side, you're going to be sweaty, your heart's going to be racing, your adrenaline's going to be pumping, but you won.
That's the psychological aspect of it. There's a physical aspect of it, too, because when you have this fight or flight response, your brain works differently. It releases endorphins, it releases dopamine. So there's actually a physical reaction that happens when people get frightened. And some people get frightened easily and some people not so much. And studies have shown that that's partly because our prefrontal cortex or lobes are different from person to person. Our sympathetic nervous reaction differs from person to person.
You know, we're talking about scaring the you-know-what out of people and frightening them and all that. But what I didn't think about is there's a lot of love that goes into this.
I mean, if people knew what we go through in a year to put this show on, I mean, you know, it's not what most people think where, you know, oh, we just roll up in September and, oh, here we are. You know, I mean, we do put a lot of love into it. And it's I don't like to use the word family, but, I mean, these people, you know, the people that you work with, it becomes like a family. You see them more than your own family. I mean, I have a wife and three kids, and, you know, I see these people a lot more than I see my own family during the year most of the time, you know.
And so even at dinner, I mean, if we're all out at dinner, that's what we're talking about. It's a topic of conversation. And then, you know, our production tech this year is Jason Steer. He actually built the last half of our haunted house this year. And we can stand out in the yard every single night, and we can talk about what's going to be done next year.
Wow,
you know, awesome. We're planning every single day for the next big thing, and it takes an entire village.
Well, thank you so much. We really appreciate you sharing your inside story on scaring people with us, and I hope that you continue to be surprised and scared by life in the world around
Absolutely.
You.
Come back anytime, guys. Anytime.
All right, well, let's go talk to some of the people getting in makeup.
This is where some of the magic happens.
Are you the makeup manager?
Yes, I am. I'm Kayla Baldonado, and I am the makeup manager here at New Orleans Nightmare Haunted House. I've been doing makeup professionally for 4 years or so, but I've been with New Orleans Nightmare since they opened last year.
And what kind of effect are you looking for to be really scary?
Definitely making everybody look like they fit perfectly into their scene is my job, taking them from normal humans to, you know, ghosts and ghoulies and demons and victims.
So who is this going to be? What's her role?
So Chelsea here is our lead nun in the nunnery. She's a scene lead, so it's her job to make sure everything is...
Yeah.
It's her job to make sure everything is running smoothly. So she needs to be able to go through many different areas. So her makeup needs to be very, fully conceptualized. She gets a little bit more time.
All right, so this is something that we were talking about a second ago, which I never thought about, which is a lot of work goes into the wonder of scaring people, right? So you're really working to keep things moving and make sure everything is going according to plan. Is that right?
Yes, definitely.
While you're also trying to stay scary.
Yes, all night long. All we do is run around laps through our areas from one scene, just follow groups through, scaring the whole way through to the end of our scene, which is my end of the scene is the end of the haunt. So I chase them through to the end and then start loop back over again.
Who gets the most scared? Who seems to enjoy it the most? What kind of visitors?
You'd be surprised. It's the ones who want to act like they're not scared the most. Like, they usually are the ones who will jump the most or react the most or just have a good, like, a little reaction, you know.
Usually it's the big burly guys.
Yes, the big burly guys yeah. who want to act macho.
Like Thomas, our producer.
How do you know when people get to a point where it's not fun anymore? I mean, or is it always fun? I mean, people come here knowing they're going to have people like you jump out at them.
Right. If they're here for a good time, they're going to have a good time. But there are people who, like, just don't let us affect them. And, you know, we see them and we move on to the ones we will affect.
All right, so I want to go and talk to you.
I play a character called Eloise. And Eloise is a very small child who lives in a hotel. And she likes to play Operation and giggle. And she has a full cadaver to play with. So we tend to get people who get really, really scared very early on and tend to want to leave. And I can either convince them to stay, hopefully, a lot of them do stay, or if they really, really panic, then we do take them out. But
what are your tips for scaring people?
If you can't scare somebody, then make them really uncomfortable. And if you can't make them really uncomfortable, make them laugh. That's always the best tips for when you're working in a haunt.
How do you do that?
Well, I start in the dark, and I become Eloise, and I tend to giggle at them from a hallway where they can't find me or see me. And then if they're really scared, I ask them if they want to take my hand and follow me inside.
And so you have had people turn around and say no.
I have had people turn around and run away. I've had people who
are uncomfortable right now.
Who are very uncomfortable, who tend to take off. A lot of the time I can get them back because I'll be really sweet.
Yeah. I'm just playing. You want to play hide and seek?
Why do you think people like to be scared?
Because it's an adrenaline rush. Everybody loves the feeling of being scared in a safe environment where they know nothing really is going to hurt them. It's like a good horror movie. It's not really going to hurt you, but you may be a little bit nervous to go to sleep later on. And that's really the best part of it.
Do you like being scared?
I do. And it takes a lot now. Like, the haunt doesn't scare me as much, although we do all try to scare each other while we're working. But it takes a lot to be scared.
There's sort of this giant contest to outscare everybody, each other?
Yes. Actually, all the actors will sneak around and try to pop out of different places where we're not supposed to be or where we're unexpected. And we will jump out and try to scare the other actors, sometimes not even on purpose. I crawled out of a fireplace the other day, and it just was unexpected. Yeah.
So even in a house of the unexpected still happens, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Good luck.
I think so, yeah. Let's talk to the actor.
Hey,
oh my gosh, the contact lenses just creep me out. So you're a scene lead. Tell me a little bit about your character and what you do.
About my character. This is something we designed this year. I'm actually not in my full makeup right now. I normally have like horns and a brow prosthetic to kind of make it look like even more it's not me. It's like a demon kind of character. We haven't really thought that much into it, to be honest, because it's still a new character we created this year.
Do you spend the season kind of figuring out how to embody it? I mean, is there like method acting involved to doing this?
Absolutely. It kind of just takes from like how I want this character to act. So like the character design, first off, starts with makeup, what we want them to look like. And then I have to take it upon myself to figure out how they're going to talk, how they're going to act, how they're going to scare even. I might not even be a scare actor at that point. I might be a stalker actor where I just kind of follow you and look really creepy as opposed to jumping out at
you. So how many kinds of actors are you? You have scare actors and stalker actors?
You have like your pop-out actors. You have your really intense like aggressor actors. So they go after people. They're super aggressive about it. And then you have kind of like your regular actors, which would be people that are in the hotel scene, which is the first, I would say about third of the haunt, where they just do a lot of talking and kind of immersing you into the scene.
Gotcha.
As opposed to like scaring you. It just depends on the situation. If they're not scared by me, then I'm gonna try and make them laugh. I'm gonna try to make them react in some way that I can just give them their money's worth, I guess. They're paying a lot of money to be here, so I want to give them a show, you know?
One of your colleagues, or one of the actors, the fellow actors we were just talking to, said that she tries to either first scare, second, if that doesn't work, make people uncomfortable, and if that doesn't work, make them laugh.
Correct. That's the exact order.
And do you love to scare people when you're not working here? Like, absolutely. Do you just scare people? Right, so you're that son of a bitch
so
that, like, just
yeah,
messes with people's
minds. People behind the bushes.
Right,
thank you.
Right, thank you, great. But so I guess, you know, the thing that's interesting to me is there is a predictability to this, right? I mean, people know when they're walking into a haunted house what's going to happen.
Right.
You know there's going to be ghouls. You know there's going to be scary clowns, even if they can't laugh and all that. But we still get scared. Why is that? Why do you think that is?
I think it's the full immersion, honestly. I think it's the full just you're in a completely different realm. You're not even in Metairie, Louisiana, Jefferson, Louisiana anymore. You're in a completely different place. And then you have these people that are just coming at you and you don't know what they're going to do.
Right.
Honestly. And some people still think that we can like touch them or grab them. It's not at all true, but I'll let them think that, you know?
So don't you think sometimes the fear of fear is as active or as potent as fear itself?
Absolutely. The anticipation of just walking in here is sometimes even worse than some haunted houses.
That's my problem. I hate knowing that somebody's going to come start up that stupid chainsaw.
And she's like, they're actually right behind you. And see, what I love about this, I love myths. And to me, there's a mythic experience or a mythic element to a haunted house, right? And it is very much like a hero's journey because you're going into really bad situations and you're going to be tested or scared and hopefully you're going to get out. And I think what's cool about that is, which is true with all myth telling, is there's a commonality to it. You know, there's a container, if you will. And so that when you walk into this haunted house, in a way, you're walking into all the haunted houses that people have ever walked into. So all the screams, all the scares are stirred up. Do you all think about that in different ways? I mean, in other words, does it like get whipped up the longer you go or the longer the night goes on? Does the energy whip up?
I think it hits a climax definitely, because if everyone's kind of acting their hardest the entire night, then it can kind of come down at the end of the night, very, very end of the night. But we encourage our actors to have different forms of scares. So like, for instance, an A scare, a B scare, and a C scare. Your A scare would be big as you can go, and then B, of course, right under that, and C, all the way under that. So still acting, still scaring, but not...
But you're moderating your actions for the audience.
Correct, because I want, again, you pay a lot of money to be in here, so I want to give you the best show I possibly can.
So you can tell when people are, when you're going to A and you need to be C.
Correct. I mean, if it would be like a slow night, then you might take it easy. I mean, this is our second night of five this week, I believe.
Yep.
I just want it to be consistent for everyone that walks through. I want you to walk through right when we open and get a good show, and I want you to walk through at 12 o'clock when we close and get the same exact show.
Well, you're going off a script and a story and a scenario and a set and a characters, and so you're telling a story, right?
Essentially, yes, but it's kind of up to us at that point.
Like, so you can improvise.
Yeah, you can improvise, but the thing is that once you're in a scene, you have to figure out what works. I can tell you what works, and maybe, hey, try this, and this will work here because I've been in this haunt for so long, but it might not work for that specific actor. So it's very personal at that point. So not every actor is going to be able to do the same scares in the same set or act the same way.
But you're building a bond with your audience. I mean, it's interactive.
Correct. I'm definitely
terrifying. I'm going to fuck with
terrifying.
You, Bond. That is not, yeah, anyway. Right. Well, I know you've got to get going,
so
right?
Much.
Yeah,
get your,
thank you.
Get your yeah.
You got to go get your scare.
Yeah,
on.
Great night. It was great
thank
to
meet you so
guys.
Much.
You too.
Nice. This is cool. I feel like we're backstage going on.
So we are leaving the offices of New Orleans Nightmare and going into what amounts to a really creepy, crazy. We're backstage, and we are absolutely about to hit the footlights
here.
We're
going to go on. Let's go.
All right, guys. I will let you guys go first. I don't want to ruin this.
We'll let ladies first.
No, that's not fair.
Right here behind you. Right here behind you.
Oh! Oh, my God. Oh! Jesus, how do they keep doing this?
My endorphins have kicked in big time. I am, oh no, oh no, Eloise is back.
They need to put the bar midway through.
Yes, yes.
A good martini would help. Oh, Jesus Christ. You're gonna fall over here. Okay, but no. What an amazing job you all
yes,
do.
Yes, absolutely fabulous.
There is wonder in, yeah.
I have been scared out, well, never
scared,
mind.
Yes. You all did a great job.
I don't know how to describe what I'm feeling right now because people talk about how much fun it is to be scared. And I guess I do feel sort of a tingly gratification that I'm standing outside.
Well, and you're on edge. Like, now I'm going to spend the rest of the night wondering where you are going to fuck with me next. So, I mean, that's what happens, right? And I think the piece is if you're listening to this, to what Renee said, if you're listening in and you're afraid of a haunted house, or what do we all tell ourselves, we don't have time to go, or what would a cynical bastard like me say, I'm too old for it, I don't get scared, go. Stop listening to this episode right now and go to your nearest haunted house because they're amazing. So with that, thank you for listening and thank everyone here at New Orleans Nightmare, which I have to say is probably the best haunted house in the whole world. There we go, says the sales guy. And we will see you back here next week for a non-scary episode of Everyday Wonder.
Such a beautiful place.